Here at Juno's public radio stations, millions of electrons get excited every day, bringing you news, information, music, and more. We've even got a box to help us out. It's called an exciter. It works on radio waves, but not on people. We rely on our programming to do that. If you're excited enough about public radio to support it with your financial contribution, especially right now during our choir drive, you can pledge online by heading to ktoo.org. Excitement. It's contagious.
And speaking of excitement, we've got an exciting show today on a Juno afternoon. How you doing, everyone? I'm Andy Klein. I'm your host for this Wednesday. A beautiful, beautiful Wednesday out there today, although those winds are out there, and we're going to continue to have winds for today and tonight, gusting to around 40 miles an hour, but mostly clear skies. We've got a great show today. Going to be talking about Halloween at the Nugget Mall. We're also going to be talking about exchange students. There's a potluck dinner coming up for exchange students, and we're going to be talking to Sue Baxter about that. Erica Lee will be here to tell us about the Kids Time Arts Academy. And Theater in the Rough is producing Macbeth, which opens this week just in time for Halloween, a spooky play if there ever was one. Theater in the Rough is going to be in here. Aaron Elmore from Theater in the Rough will be here to let us know all about that play, why they chose it, how it, what it takes to put on a great Shakespeare play here in Juneau, and everything else that goes into that production. We'll be hearing from him in just a moment. First, here's National Native News from Antonio Gonzalez, and National Native News coming from Anchorage.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Hearings resumed recently in British Columbia into the proposed Northern Gateway Pipeline to bring oil from Alberta to the Canadian West Coast. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, the Environmental Review Panel was greeted by activists, which included a small group of Aboriginal protesters.
Members of the Carrier-Sakani First Nations Band, along with environmental activists, held signs telling Enbridge, the builder of the proposed pipeline, to go home. The final hearings are underway in the city of Prince George. Enbridge officials and interveners will be questioned under oath about the environmental and other impacts of the pipeline. They will also be grilled about safety standards and accident prevention and response. Terry Teagee is the vice tribal chief for the Carrier-Sakani Council. Teagee was there to tell Enbridge his people don't want the project in their territory or the province's coastal waters.
At our work at the Carrier-Sakani Tribal Council, we determined that this environmental assessment process doesn't protect our rights as Indigenous people. And I think that is a big issue.
Teagee says the Carrier-Sakani are not taking part in the hearings because the panel does not have a mandate to look at Aboriginal rights or the long-term effects of a pipeline. He says if the project is approved, the First Nation will likely continue its fight in the courts. Environmental activists say the pipeline would drastically change the landscape, which no amount of money could make up. The review panel is to complete its report for the Canadian government by the end of next year. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Wyoming's Wind River Reservation could lose its trash disposal services if the tribes do not negotiate a new contract with the surrounding county. As Wyoming Public Radio's Rebecca Martinez reports, the existing contract expires in December.
In June, Fremont County overhauled the way it collects waste at transfer stations. Now residents can only drop off trash during certain hours when the stations are staffed, and they must pay disposal fees based on how much garbage they drop off. But the county doesn't have the authority to make these changes for four transfer stations on trust land without a modified contract with the Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone tribes on the Wind River Indian Reservation. The tribes have expressed interest in taking over operation of those transfer stations, in part to preserve tribal sovereignty and create jobs for tribal members. Solid Waste Superintendent Andy Fry says Fremont County has offered to provide the tribes with $375,000 per year. That's what it costs the county to operate those sites. Then, like other localities, tribes would pay disposal fees to the county to have the waste landfilled. But the tribes have balked at that offer. Ryan Ortiz of the Wind River Environmental Quality Commission is a consultant for the tribes. He says it would cost the tribes closer to $500,000 a year to operate the stations and cover disposal fees.
We know that it costs money to transport waste. We think that, you know, asking us to take over a total expense to them and then not getting sufficient amount of money and then having to pay those charges is where the unfair component of this transaction takes place.
Fremont County has also offered to manage the tribal transfer stations under the new countywide regulations, but it would involve renegotiating the tribe's and county's jurisdiction over the land there. The groups will meet to discuss the contract again this week. For National Native News, I'm Rebecca Martinez.
During this week in 2011, U.S. Alaska Senator Mark Begich held a listening session for veterans during the Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention in Anchorage. Native veterans pressed U.S. lawmakers and a U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs official for help. Veterans from across the state voiced concerns, which included the need for housing and services for physical and mental health care. Veterans living in rural areas said they don't have access to VA services and have to fly to Anchorage, which is costly. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
That music's a little bit of taste of Break of Reality, a cello rock band that's going to be playing here in town on the 29th, an exciting band that's going to be happening here. Not exactly classical, not exactly rock, somewhere in between, but exciting nonetheless. Go check that out. That's going to be a cool thing happening on the 29th. Partly cloudy skies is the forecast for the rest of today, with isolated snow showers in the afternoon possible, mainly at the higher elevations. Highs here at sea level around 42 degrees. We got northeast winds coming in at 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts around 40. We've all felt those gusty winds here in the past few days. Mostly clear skies for tonight. Again, gusts around 40 miles an hour and lows in the high 20s. Partly cloudy is the forecast for tomorrow. Highs around 38. Again, gusty winds. And Thursday night, mostly clear. Friday, partly cloudy again Friday and Saturday. So we've got good forecast here, the same kind of weather happening for the next few days heading into Saturday and Saturday night. And it's been fun to have nice sunny weather out there, hasn't it, Karen? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Karen Peterson is with me. Karen is with a parent group that's helping put on Halloween at the Nugget Mall. Karen, tell me a little bit about what's going to be happening there. Is this the mission here is to really scare these kids, right? No,
well,
more fun.
Well, that's going to be the haunted house. The Boy Scouts and the Fire Department haunted house. That's their department of scaring the kids.
Very good. When's the haunted house happening?
Well, it looks like most of the things are going to be happening Friday, October 26th between 5:30 and 7:30, and then Saturday, October 27th from noon to 4, and then Sunday, October 26th from 1 to 4. And Wednesday, October 31st from 5 to 7:30.
Nice. And then there's also, so tell me, what's happening at the Nugget Mall then specifically?
Oh, man, there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah.
Yes, besides the haunted house, there's Helping Hands kids. They're going to be doing the Halloween carnival. So they'll have all kinds of events going on there. There'll be all kinds of things for kids of all ages to be doing. And then the Thunder Mountain High School Music Department is going to be doing photos in the pumpkin patch.
Okay, all right.
So kids can show up in their costumes. And actually, we have more than just kids doing this. We have adults as well that come in, and they like to
Absolutely.
Have their pictures taken.
I'll bet.
It's a great idea to send these off to grandparents down south.
Right.
Or the, you know, a lot of the high school kids. Your
sure.
boyfriend, girlfriend, that type of thing, you know. So there's lots of ideas. And I know there's one place in the Nugget Mall that has, you can put your pictures on mugs or T-shirts.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Those are always fun.
Yeah. And those
definitely.
Are great gifts
yeah.
ideas.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Well, tell me, back up 1 second. Tell me a little bit, do you know anything more about this haunted house? This is exciting. Like, what space in the mall it's going to be in and that sort of thing?
Oh, you guys are going to just have to come down and find out where it's going to be.
It. Okay.
I do know in the past they have levels that you can go at where level one, I can't remember which level it is, but there are levels that you can say, well, I don't want to be scared too much.
Oh, you can, the scarometer.
Yes.
You can choose the level on the scarometer.
Exactly,
see. Exactly,
because there are some kids that are, do not want to be scared, and there are some others that just want to be scared their pants off type thing.
Right, absolutely.
So they have their levels.
Okay.
And I'm in the medium. I do not want to be scared too much.
Right, exactly. Okay. That's good to know, the scarometer. I like that. Just amp up the scare. Can you maybe halfway through? All right, I'm amping it up. I'm going up to DEFCON 3 now. I'm going to take it up to another level here.
I don't know. You guys will have to just come down and
come
find
down and
that
out.
I'm not sure on that. That at least has been in the past. Now, I'm not positive if they're still doing that, if they'll do that this year.
I like it. I like the idea.
I hope they do.
Yeah, I like the idea. Okay. And so there's also going to be a Halloween costume contest happening actually on Halloween Day on the 31st, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And they suggest that you come down at around 4:45, I believe is the time, and I think it's in front of the what used to be the old plum tree.
Yep, right. Kind of right there in the middle of the mall. Kind of
exactly.
Right.
And you register in there for your, they have all ages. I think it's from, what is it, zero?
Well, they've got four age categories. I'm looking at the poster here. They've got four age categories. They've got from up to five, and then 6 to 10, and then 11 to 17 for teenagers, and then adults. So costumes in four categories, prizes will be awarded for the top three costumes in all four categories. So that's really awesome.
It is. And last year, the mall was packed with all these costumes. It was just, it was wonderful to see all that. And you, it was just a show to see all the costumes.
It's a fun thing to do, especially this year, you know, because Halloween falls not on a weekend. You know,
right.
So it's sort of like, well, Halloween's on Wednesday. What do we do? So this is great because it gives everyone a place to go and a place to see everyone else's. I mean, half the fun is seeing everyone else's costumes, right?
Oh, exactly.
And, so
this is a place to go to see, you know, all the neat things that Juno can come up with.
All the weird and wacky things that can happen, yes.
Oh, and there's some great ones.
Yeah. There are definitely. I mean, it's amazing how creative people get, isn't it? I always am amazed, like, there was one woman I remember a couple years ago who carried around her own head. Did you ever see that one? There was this way of like...
That one didn't come into the mall. I wish that one
really
had.
It was really cool. So the fake head was up on top of where you would recognize... Normally a real head would be. And that, and then she had her hands wrapped around so that if she was carrying her own head. Anyway, very cool stuff. Yes.
Oh, there is. And there's trick-or-treating as well. So, you know, if it's a nasty night out that night... This is a good place to come where you're dry. You can be out where your costume can be seen instead of getting all wet and windy. And it's a good all the stores in there are going to be offering candy for the kids. So they'll in to.
Okay, so we've hit the photo booth, the haunted house, the costume contest. So what other events should people know about around this season here?
Let's see. Eagle Crest Ski Area pass sales will be going on as well. Big Brothers Big Sister annual pumpkin carving from 2 to 4 will be on the 27th.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Okay, so that's Saturday. All right.
So there's those things that will be going on. At least that's...
Doesn't it seem like pumpkin carving has become this art form recently, you know, with the way people shave away and then all
There's some wonderful ones. You know, Thunder Mountain High School had a band performance at... Oh, I think it was last weekend. And the kids had done all these pumpkin carvings, and there's some beautiful, like you said, art forms. And it was just wonderful what they did with it.
I used to, like, just trying to get a triangle nose was a big deal for me. I mean, that was all I could manage, you know.
I know. And just opening the pumpkin up and getting all the seeds out,
well, that was my favorite
know?
Part. I like that, you know, chasing my sister around with that stuff. That was a good, those are good memories. Halloween have good memories. Well, anything else we should mention before we wrap up here?
Just come on down. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. As far as I'd recommend supporting a lot of these groups. These are, you know, the Boy Scouts and the Fire Department, Thunder Mountain Music Department. They're still trying to pay for their uniforms.
Is that the photo booth goes to the music department specifically?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it goes directly to helping these kids.
Great, great. Any other groups that are being directly benefited by the funds that are raised here?
Well, like the Boy Scouts.
Sure.
Helping Hands Kids. They're doing the carnival.
Okay.
And let's see. I think there was a few other groups. I'm trying to remember what they were.
Well, I'm sure they're worthy.
Those are the main ones.
I'm sure they're all worthy.
Oh,
right? They're all great groups. It's all helping the community.
Yes.
Goes to a great cause. It's all nonprofit. This isn't for profit. This is all going to nonprofit groups.
Exactly.
Kind of feeds it back into the community. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the Nugget Mall is the place to be.
Yep.
For the Halloween season here. And that Halloween costume contest, especially on the 31st at 4:45 is when you get there. The judging is going to start at 5 p.m., but get there at 4:45 to sign up for judging in front of the old Plum Tree store right there at the middle of the mall. And then, of course, the haunted house and the photo booth.
Oh, yeah. You got to have the picture
stuff.
Of this whole
yeah,
event
yeah.
being done.
All great stuff. All right. Karen Peterson, thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank
That's
you.
Halloween at the Nugget Mall. More music there from Break of Reality. They're going to be coming to town, and I think it's exciting stuff that's going to be happening. Sue Baxter's with me next. Sue, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, Sue, you've been known by many people as one of the wonderful teachers here in town for many years, but you've got a really fun thing going on where you've concentrated a lot of efforts towards exchange students, and you're going to be doing a potluck dinner for exchange students.
Well, the Sister Cities Committee of Juneau is trying to reach out to all of the different ways that we can to our international students, our international relationships, economically, culturally, and socially. And this year we have 9 exchange students here in
wow.
Juneau. And we have a lot to learn from them as they have a lot to learn from us.
What's the ages?
They're all high school students.
Okay.
I believe the youngest is 15, probably through till 17, 18.
And do you know the different countries they are from? I'll bet you do.
I do.
Okay.
I know most of
okay.
them. They're basically 4 different programs. The YES program, which is sponsored by the State Department, and those students are from Palestine, Lebanon, and Israel. Then AFS, American Field Service, and those students are from Thailand and Russia. The Rotary always has
mm-hmm.
several students. And this year here, there's 2 students from, one from Denmark, one from Germany, and then after Christmas, I believe there is another one coming from South Africa.
And have we in Juneau sent out students as well?
You know, I believe so.
Okay.
I know definitely with AFS and with a Rotary. I really don't know about the YES program, if that goes the other way or
oh,
not.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then there's one more program, the Northwest Exchange, and they have two students this year.
Okay, and where are they from?
Well, I know one's from France. I wish
okay.
I knew the other one.
Okay, that's fine. No,
I'm
well.
Sorry, but come today, tonight.
Unlike many of your classes, this is not a test.
Oh, I'm
it's
glad
fine.
To hear that.
This
Thank
is
you.
Not a pop quiz. You won't be graded on this.
Now, come on, Andy.
But tell me about the potluck. What's going to happen there?
The potluck is from 6 to 8 out in the Commons at Thunder Mountain. I've received acceptance from most of the exchange students and their families. So we'll have a wide variety of dishes just to share with all of you. And the idea is to meet and greet.
And also, I'm guessing the idea also is the dishes are from the hosts, from the countries of origin of the different exchanges.
As much as they can.
Right.
Some of the families are really busy, so
sure,
they are stretching a little bit to make this happen,
right.
But we appreciate anything.
Right, they eat spaghetti in Denmark. Come on.
From a can.
Yes.
No, I doubt it.
No. It'd be fun. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Is this something that specifically trying to raise some funds also, or is it just a meet and greet, come and...
It's just to meet and greet.
Okay.
As a city committee, our funding is kind of tricky. So this is a meet and greet. We do have four sister cities that we have official sister cities relationships with. One is Whitehorse, Yukon, Chai City, China, Vladivostok, Russia, and Kamaling, Philippines, which has been in emeritus status but may emerge out of emeritus status. We're working on that.
Okay.
We have a very small committee. Tom Chard is the chairman, Glenn Gray, Maria Uchitel, and Jeremy Frank, and myself. So one of our goals is to make a more visible footprint for these for our international relations in Juneau.
Now, from the committee standpoint, what do you feel the benefit for Juneau is of putting this foot forward and hosting these kids who come from all these different places?
Well, from personal experience, we have had several different people from Vladivostok live with us for up to a year. And our family's world was definitely broadened by having them live with us. And we saw our little community of Juneau in its good parts and its hard parts through their eyes. And so my husband's and myself, our own view was broadened, but definitely our children's view was broadened.
Well, that's
broadened.
Certainly an interesting thing, isn't it, to think about that the students are coming here and they're experiencing Juneau with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. And so not only do they, of course, enjoy the things that maybe we enjoy, but also they have to deal with things that maybe we've kind of swept aside in our own minds.
Yeah.
And it allows us to say, hey, wait a minute, this one issue is maybe an issue, even though we kind of haven't thought about it in this way before. It's a way for us to kind of improve those things that maybe we are ignoring a little or something.
And we can get a little insular here in Juneau, and so this keeps our world big.
Yeah, yeah. How about for other students, other kids that are interacting with the exchange students here in Juneau?
Well, they can't help but see a bigger worldview, and especially when you take the YES program that is bringing students from both sides of the Middle Eastern issue. And how can you be black and white when you have friends who live in both Palestine and Israel?
Yeah. Can you tell me more about the YES program specifically? What's the...
I would love to, but my knowledge is very limited.
Okay.
I think I would encourage Judith Meyer or Rich Moniak to come and talk to you more about that.
Okay. And which one are you most involved with?
I am involved with the sister cities.
Oh,
so
I see.
I'm a
okay.
neutral party here.
I see. Okay. So it's the sister cities. It's the tie-in. The
yes.
committee for the sister cities
yes.
is sort of the tie-in.
Yes.
And it makes sense that the sister cities tie-in would encourage visitors of all sorts of people to come in. And something like this is kind of a formal agreement where you have these kids coming in for...
Right. And we introduce the students to... We sponsored an introduction of the students to the assembly and to the school board last week, and now this is to the community at large.
Is there something that you find when dealing with students who come here that's a common thing that's hard to adjust to when they come to Juneau specifically?
Well, I think that they have their stereotype of what America is like is definitely shattered when they come to Southeast Alaska. And I think it takes them... if their stereotype was well ingrained, it takes a little bit longer to find the magic here. In our family, we've had students, as I said, from Vladivostok, but also from Costa Rica. And all of them think back to their year here in Juneau extremely positively.
So even if they had some adjustments at the beginning, those adjustments were... kind of made, and they ended up having really positive experiences.
I think so.
Yeah, which I think is so often the case with exchange students. There's definitely, it's definitely not like there's going to be it's going to be all smooth sailing all the time. It's a big adjustment, and a lot of these kids are really young. When you say some of them are 15 and 16 years old, it's a that's a young age to send your little one out for
a
year, right?
And they are amazing, all of them. This year, the crop of exchange students is just wonderful.
Do you find that their command of English is typically pretty advanced, or is that kind of all over the map?
I would say it tends to head toward the more advanced side. Mostly the students can communicate right from the beginning, at least from what they understand. Maybe their speaking is hesitant, but what they are able to understand is quite amazing.
Because English as a second language is such a common thing in so many countries, Well, Sue Baxter, thanks so much for telling us about this. Give us an update one more time on
one
the
more
potluck
time.
Specifically.
It is at Thunder Mountain this evening from 6 to 8 in the Commons area. Some international dishes and some probably very familiar dishes. We'd love to see as many people who can come and meet the exchange students.
And free admission and just come in and meet the exchange students. Sounds like a great deal. There is a such thing as a free lunch. It's fantastic.
Maybe.
Come in and have some great food and meet these really interesting kids from all over, all walks of life and all over the globe that have that one thing in common, which is that they're all in Juneau this year.
They are.
They are. Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
Here's some music from Israel right now.
אל תעצור אותי עכשיו מצאתי צדק יש בו אור אליו אני רוצה ללכת דרכו רוצה לחזור בוא נבנה כאן בית בוא ניתן לילדים לצחוק לפעמים אני חוששת שוויתרת ושאתה מפליא גם מוקר
It's the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 24th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of the poet Denise Levertov, Ilford, England, 1923. She wanted to become a poet, didn't want to go to graduate school, so she got her nurse's training, spent 3 years as a nurse during the Blitz in London. She liked the work, but didn't like the structure, the organization. She said, I was always crawling in and out of windows to avoid curfews. She met and married an American poet, Mitchell Goodman. They moved to this country. She got in touch with William Carlos Williams, whose work she admired. They exchanged letters for a while. Then she took a bus up to meet him in Rutherford, New Jersey. He was a warm man, and after that, she went to visit him a couple of times a year. Denise Levertov published more than 20 books of poems. Denise Levertov, who said, strength of feeling, reverence for mystery, and clarity of intellect must be kept in balance with one another. Neither the passive nor the active must dominate. They must work in conjunction as in a marriage. She said, I'm not very good at praying, but what I experience when I'm writing a poem is close to prayer. It's the birthday of the playwright Moss Hart, born in Manhattan in 1904 into utter poverty. But his aunt Kate, who was as poor as the rest of them, liked to live beyond her means. And among her indulgences was the theater. She liked to take trips to see Broadway plays. And she took her nephew along, and he was dazzled by it. Took any theater odd job he could find. He wrote a comedy, which was all right, a producer told him, but not great, and the producer suggested that he collaborate with the playwright George S. Kaufman. And when the play was produced, it was a big success in 1930, the play Once in a Lifetime. They went on to collaborate on You Can't Take It With You and The Man Who Came to Dinner. Mosshart also wrote screenplays, including Gentleman's Agreement, and he directed plays. The most famous was the musical My Fair Lady in 1956, a rags-to-riches story that he told in his memoir Act One. He died in 1961, Mosshart, and his wife Kitty Carlisle refused to let his diary be published. She died in 2007, and the diary turned out to be full of nasty comments about people he knew, Dorothy Parker and Marlene Dietrich and Gene Kelly and Audrey Hepburn, whom he described as absolutely ruthless. Here's a poem for today by Lewis Jenkins, The Preacher. When times were hard, no work on the railroad, no work down on the farm, some of my ancestors took to preaching. It was not so much of what was said as the way in which it was said. The horn shall sound and the dog will bark, and though you be on the highest mountain or down in the deepest valley, when the darkness comes, then you will lie down, and as the day follows the night, you will surely rise again. The Lord our God hath made both heaven and earth. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, we know so well the ways of this world. Think then what heaven must be like. It required a certain presence, a certain authority. The preacher was treated with respect and kept at a bit of a distance, like a rattler. There wasn't much money in it, but it was good for maybe a dozen eggs or a chicken dinner now and then. The Preacher by Lewis Jenkins, from Before You Know It, published by Will-O-The-Wisp Books, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Juno Arts and Humanities Council presents a night of cello rock with Break of Reality, featuring three cello players and a percussionist, a group that plays with genuine technique but rocks out like it means it. This all-ages event is Monday, October 29th at Centennial Hall starting at 7 p.m. with a beer garden for those over 21. Sponsored by Rainforest Pediatrics, the Juno Empire, Princess Cruises, and Holland American Lines, and supported by Westaf. Tickets available at the Jack, Heartside Books, and online at jahc.org.
From Breaking Reality there, coming on Tuesday on the 29th here to Juneau, Alaska, to our little town of Juneau, Alaska, right here, where we have partly cloudy skies today, and that's the forecasts for the next few days, partly cloudy and mostly clear skies, but with gusty winds, up to 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts, highs the next few days in the high 30s and lows in the high 20s at night. That's out through Saturday, so a nice forecast there, but a little chilly. Bundle up, obviously. Erica Lee's with me now. Erica, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Haven't seen you since Wearable Art, you, my arch nemesis.
Klein finger.
Yes, that's right. How are you doing?
I'm excellent.
I won't say the nickname we had for you. It was a little... it was PG-13.
Or 14.
Yes, that's right. But Erica, the people who've seen you know you as someone who's very involved in theater and in music and those kinds of things in town here. You've got a really interesting thing happening, which is the after-school fine arts camp Art by Art art by kids, for kids, and it's the Kids Time Art Academy.
It sure is.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the kind of the idea behind this and what kinds of kids would be interested in this sort of thing.
Of course. Well, all kinds of kids could be open to this. Those who love science, to math, to those who just have a natural curiosity about any type of art. But it is an after-school fine arts program. And what we're focusing on is a little bit different, is that it's art. As you said, art by kids for kids. The kids involved in this project will be writing the script themselves. They'll also have practice in visual arts because they'll also be doing the set as well.
So they're going to put on a play.
Yes.
A musical.
A musical, actually.
From soup to nuts. They're
going to
start at the beginning, and at the end they're going to perform it, and it'll be all created by them and performed by them and created by them. The whole deal.
Absolutely.
That's incredibly exciting.
It is. It's amazing and surprising is what it is. Because you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, unlike a play where you cast and really are looking for specific things, this is just you're going to get a bunch of kids in a room together and say, okay, who likes to do this and who likes to do that? And you're going to have to figure it out. And of course, because they're writing it, they'll kind of maybe match some of the things to the people in the room as well.
Of course. It will be molded for themselves. And what's really amazing is that they're going to find pieces of themselves or discover things about themselves that they didn't know about before. And they're going to embrace it and then put it in front of people. They'll be proud of themselves and grow as a person after such a short time and through art therapy. I'd like to say.
Well, that's one of the things art does. I mean, art is about self-discovery as much as it is about expression and that sort of thing. Well, give me a few of just the details here. When's it start and all that kind of stuff? And what's the kind of nuts and bolts of the program?
Of course. First of all, it'll be happening downtown at this lovely, lovely space called Rockwell. I don't know if everybody knows where that is, but it's the old Elks Lodge Ballroom. So it's upstairs. And it's going to begin November 1st, Thursday, November 1st, all the way through December 8th. And we'll have that performance on Saturday, December 8th. It'll happen Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. As you can see, we have a lot of work to get done.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, doing a musical, man, in 4 weeks, that's a big, task, right?
Doing a written musical in 4 weeks is tough, but writing it yourself and coming up with everything yourself is going to it'll be quite a journey.
So how do you, as the person who has to, wrangle these cats together, how do you schedule that out? Do you do a week of writing and how does it go?
Well, the program does happen from 3 to 6, and it involves grades 2nd through 6th grade. Now, I don't know if you've worked with kids before, but
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I wouldn't put one task for an entire day. So for each hour, we'll shift to a different aspect that we'll be working on. So for 1 hour, we might be doing, for lack of better words, arts and craft. But as far as visual arts, working on the set. Mm-hmm. Then we might practice our dance moves.
Always fun. Burn off a little energy there, right?
Oh, yes. We definitely have to burn
Very
off
strategic.
Some energy.
Yes, okay.
yes. Strategically placed in the day.
Okay.
And then we might work on script writing because they also have to learn how to write a script. We'll be looking at plays, of course, simple plays that are designed for children, but also what I think is key and what will intrigue them is looking at fairy tales and the way that they are written, familiar fairy tales, so that they'll understand the arc that is involved in storytelling. Because really, that is what theater is.
That's a really valuable skill and a really valuable thing to pick up on, that there's these simple themes and simple ideas behind all stories. And that you have this, you have a certain character development, you have a certain arc of the story, beginning, middle, and end, all that sort of stuff that has to happen in a story. Now, we were just talking before you got on that now the one of the kind of unknowns as you put these things together is the music part.
Yes.
Like really trying to, now what do you mean by that? What part of the music part are you trying to still work out?
Well, now I've done this before where the kids write their own scripts. The thing that I haven't done is how we will create our own music. I've done shows personally where we don't have music. We don't have a background music. It's done with our hands and with our bodies and with percussive instruments, and then our voices create the melody. I'm playing with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's also already pre-made music where you just purchase or get the background and the kids can write the words to it.
Almost a karaoke kind of a version to it. Yeah,
uh-huh,
right.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly. And they can play with what they want to say and make that work for the show that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a journey that I will be learning from myself and creating with the kids, which is fun. It's good to grow with them, because I'll be growing as a person as well.
Because it's hard to expect kids of this age to be advanced musicians, obviously, and be able to really write and do all the things that have to goes into songwriting. I mean,
exactly.
That's a whole other thing. That's
language they have.
Yes.
Storytelling they have. And they have it and probably unaware as to how developed they are in that aspect. But music is a little bit more exact, mathematical, and a little bit more difficult to accomplish. It takes more honed skills to do that. So we'll figure it out. We'll figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. Well, tell me about if people are interested, how do they go about doing this and all that kind of stuff? It looks like you've got maybe an informational meeting coming up.
I do. I have an informational meeting happening October 26th, very soon, 6 p.m. at Rockwell. And there they can ask as many questions as they want. I'll have lots of information to give them. They can also pre-register there, which is really good, and get their kids signed up and ready to go, and I'll be ready to receive them on November 1st.
Now, you said earlier you've done this before. Where did you do it?
I've done this in this sense in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
And it was absolutely amazing. Again, the kids consistently surprised me.
What was that play like, or what was it about?
It was about jazz.
Okay.
It was about jazz musicians in the history of American jazz, of course, and just learning. They had to research different jazz musicians, and we sang some songs about them as well, dance, sang, act. And I'll tell you, there's this one kid. I won't say her name.
She's in the Virgin Islands. She wasn't. She won't know.
She won't be listening.
Let's call her Betty.
Betty. Well, I'll tell you, Betty, I took her on scholarship. It was at a Montessori school, and the Montessori director, she pleaded the case. She said, please, please, please let Betty come on in because she's so talented. But, you know, the funds just aren't there for her. So I said, sure, of course, I'd love to. Betty gave me some headaches. Betty didn't get off book until the day before the show. But the day of the show, Betty blew my mind. I had no idea she had it inside of her. You know, and I'm sure she surprised herself, and she definitely surprised her parents. They were just amazed that she had that talent inside of her and that capability. And that's what I find this after-school program and arts in general for children, that's why I find it so important, because it does tap into something that you don't tap into when you're at school and you're in a
more structured,
exactly,
maybe, kind
that's
of
the
space.
Word, a more structured situation. It made a difference in my life, and I've seen it make a difference in other children's lives.
Well, that's
as well.
Sort of the high-wire act that is doing this stuff with children, especially, right? I mean, there's so much of themselves is put into the stuff that they're doing, right?
Yes.
So you're right there. I'm sure you're right there. Your heart's right on the stage with them, I'm sure, the whole time, right?
Yes. Fighting my nails.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find that they learn lines and things like that more easily because they've written them?
Yeah, of course. They it's just logistics that are difficult. You know, what's upstage and downstage? Because they'll be learning that type of terminology as well. But because they've written it, they fall in love with the character more because it's actually a part of themselves. It's something that us as adults learning to be actors, that's something hard for us to figure out, is that this evil character, there's a part of us in that too, as well as the good character. Well, you know, when you're writing, you're creating your own character. It's really easy to have that connection to them. Thus, it's easier to learn your lines.
yeah, great.
Because you love that special part.
Well, tell us the details one more time, Erica, if people are interested in this, and just a little bit more about the program.
Of course. Again, it's called Kids Time Arts Academy. It's an after-school program with the arts included, of course. And our motto is Art by Kids for Kids, where the kids create and perform their own masterpiece. Now, this will take place, it will begin Thursday, November 1st, all the way until Saturday, December 8th. So it is a four-week session. It's going to happen Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. And the location is downtown at Rockwell, which is the old Elks Ballroom upstairs.
It was also called Latino upstairs at Latino's most recently. And so it's that big area that... Yeah, it's a great space. We've had a couple of events in that space. Yeah. It's already got a little stage there. And
it's perfect.
And our next guest, actually, Aaron Elmore, knows all about that space because Theater in the Rough performed a bunch of stuff in there as well.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So it's a really good all-purpose kind of space. It's going to be good, yeah.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, and the informational meeting happening on the 26th, that's at 6 p.m.
You got it.
And if people want to find out more about this, just figure out if it's right for your kid. Go to that informational meeting, 6 p.m. at Rockwell at 6 o'clock on the 26th.
Mm-hmm. And if you have some questions, you can feel free to call 917-698-1440. That's my phone number, so I'll be picking that up.
Erica Lee, thanks so much, and good luck with this great thing, the Kids Time Arts Academy.
Thank you so much, All Andy. Right.
More music from Break of Reality there, coming to town on the 29th. Aaron Elmore is with me now from Theater in the Rough. Aaron, thanks so much for coming in.
Afternoon, Andy.
And you are tackling Macbeth.
Macbeth. Just in time for Halloween.
I was going to say, for the Halloween season.
So that's right.
For those who aren't as familiar with that work, give a little brief summary of what Macbeth is all about in your eyes, your interpretation of the story.
Famously, Macbeth is set in Scotland, but more famously, I think, Macbeth is set in a mysterious and dark and dreadful world where there are witches and apparitions and kings and adventuresome and very capable, but very sort of closeted, ambitious individuals who make some bad choices along the way in their lives. And so Macbeth is he's sort of a minor noble, and he's a soldier that's pledged his fealty to this king. And the king is not a good king because the whole play starts with two rebellions back to back. Macbeth is critical to making both those rebellions go away for this king, and all the king does is basically give him one extra minor province and then promises to show up at his house. But a king to show up at your house is not an honor.
It's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
You don't want this.
King's going to bring 30 or 40 or 150 people along with him. You got to feed them. You got to house them. You got to make sure they all have clean linens and clean the bathroom every day. It's going to be a mess. So it's a way to pauperize and sort of put power over top of your subjects. And that's essentially what I think King Duncan is after. Well, Then
now that's interesting. I never quite knew that. I mean, maybe I don't know the play well enough, but that's an interesting thing. That's not considered an honor. It's not or maybe it's considered sort of an honor, but one that's imposed on
it's
you.
It's a left-handed honor.
Right, yeah. Right.
Congratulations.
Right.
You get to feed me and my entourage.
Congratulations. You will now go bankrupt.
Some indeterminate period of time. Yes, bankrupt. And it's. I think that's my read on it. Now, most of the time, King Duncan is played as a sort of lovable old goof. And it's the evil Macbeth who just bumps him off just out of a sense of spite and ambition because the witches have told him you're going to be king one day. Well, in this particular production, we've managed to find some nice broader gray areas in the midst of this. So our Duncan is sort of a jerk, and Macbeth is just sort of fighting to survive and try to make his world. Okay, yes, he murders...
Macbeth's a good guy in your
Macbeth's
play.
Macbeth's sort of a good guy who murders his fealty Lloyd in his house. Yeah, it's not so good, I realize. But anyway, yeah, and things do get worse from there, but it's a lot of fun along the way. There's fantastic battles and ghosts and all kinds of wonderful things along
the
way.
Well, tell me a little bit about the cast. Who's in this with you?
We've got a nice crowd of our usual suspects. I've just found out that Becky Orford, who's playing one of the witches in this, is in her 14th Theater in the Rough production. I don't know quite how that happened, but congratulations goes to Becky. Phil Schempf, Peter Freer, a lot of old hands here for us, and Katie and I as well playing the Macbeths, which is a great treat for us. We've sort of been sneaking up on these characters for a long, long time. And
the original Married with Children.
That's right. Or without.
Without children, actually. Yes,
yeah,
okay.
These poor people, they don't have any children, right. Which is part of the complications of the plot. But they're a great character, and Katie and I have a long history of playing extremely dysfunctional relationships on stage, which is another nice one to put up on that shelf. And then we've got... some of our younger company, Grady Wright, Fisher Stevens, Natalia Spengler, Ariana Orford, a lot of these folks have just come in more recently. And we have brand new fish, Ivy Smith. She's very young. She's about 8 or 9 years old. She plays the role of Fleance. Macbeth's best friend, Banquo, sort of a famous friendship on stage. And, of course, Macbeth betrays that friendship, another one of his bad choices. Nervous about the prophecy that while Macbeth is told he will be king, he's also told that Banquo will be father to a line of kings. So Macbeth's children are not going to be part of this, but here's Banquo, and he's got children. So Macbeth decides to murder not only his best friend, but also the kid that he's helped to raise, this son of
But Macbeth's still a good guy.
Oh, well, you know, he's just a sort of misunderstood. Anyway, I'm saying all the choices are good.
Yeah, no, he makes bad choices.
Just kind of follow where he goes, which is a great treat, I think.
Talk to me about Theater in the Rough's space here. Of course, I mean, this is maybe kind of old news now, but McFeeters Hall is...
But it still doesn't feel old to us. It's still great to be in there, and it's fantastic. We have a sort of a new permutation. You mentioned, I heard you guys talking about the old Elks. We did a lot of productions in the Elks and in the old McFeeters in an alley formation where the audience sits on two sides of the theater, and they sort of stare at each other across this gap where the actors kind of roar around in the middle. And we decided we couldn't stay away from that for this because of the sword fights and the battles and so forth that take place. We need to spread our wings a little more than we could on the stage, so... We've taken that big, giant audience rostrum and split it in half, put it against the walls, and it works beautifully well.
Wow, that's really an exciting
development.
It's fantastic,
yeah.
That's
so
very
I think people
cool.
will be excited to see the new kind of orientation. And, you know, I think for the next one, we'll probably go back to the way we've been doing it, but it's nice to be able to change it up a little bit.
What's some of the challenges that enter in as a performer when you're thinking about audiences in that formation?
As a performer and as a director, one of the challenges is making sure that you get into some sort of light that you can stand in, be seen, but also so the light isn't shining in the audience's eyes, and that's something we, you know, have to work with. So a lot of downlight, which works well since this play is so moody. If we were doing a romance, it wouldn't be so good because all these harsh, dark shadows underneath your brow and so forth wouldn't lend itself so well to young lovers traipsing around. But it works great for this piece. The other thing we have to watch out for is not to block one another. Of course, when you got audience around, you have to kind of keep it moving in a certain way just to make sure and line up your angles a little more mystically than you would normally just to make sure that the pictures are being formed for both sides of the audience at all times.
How'd you pick Macbeth?
We've been wanting to do this piece for years. It's one of the many...
Have you done it before?
I have. Katie's, I think, been in a production before, but we've never been in a production here. It is, strangely enough, one of the most done Shakespeares in Juno. It's been done many, many times over decades, but it's the first time we had a chance to take a whack at it. We've done the other, I guess you'd call them the other three big tragedies, Othello and Lear and Hamlet, and it seemed like, well, here's this other one. We might as well get around to it. So it seemed like a good time. It's been a while since it's been done here, and we've been looking at it, and the time came.
Murderer's Row there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what are the dates and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. We're going to have a free preview tomorrow night, which is great. So if anybody wants to come out and check it out, you can give us a little feedback, tell us how the story's coming out and how the experience was for you. That'd be very nice. As well, then opening night is Friday night. So we'll open this Friday and we'll run Saturday. And then we'll also have a play for the next three weekends. Thursday, Friday, Saturday next weekend, and the two weekends after that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with a matinee on Sunday.
All what are the normal times?
It's normal times in the evening, 7:30.
Oh, 7:30,
yeah.
Okay.
And on next Thursday is something else some folks should know about. If you want to come pay whatever you like on the Thursday, we call it a pay-as-you-will, or pay-as-you-can, which is something I've tried to promulgate now, that if you come next Thursday and you bring us a non-perishable food item, as you can, we'll send that into the Head Start families, or we'll get it to food bank or something like that. So that's another way to sort of engage and try to give back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What's the set and that sort of stuff like? You mentioned the split of the audience, but is the set fairly elaborate or fairly simple for this one?
In a situation like this, as is fairly common for us, the set has to be fairly swift and easy to move. We're using that curtain quite a bit to sort of change locations. We're changing locations with light. We have some fantastic new furniture we're very proud of. Phil Schempf has put this stuff together. It's just tremendous. And the end result of it is something that we can continually move around. Of course, we got to have a really cool-looking cauldron with a bunch of gooey bits around it, and we have that. So, yeah, things just come and go as they need to. Mostly it's fairly static.
What's the attraction of Shakespeare? The continual – I mean, this is maybe a stupid question, but, you know, like you say, it's been done, right? It's been
sure
done. It's been done.
And if anything, Macbeth suffers more than any other of his plays from all the baggage from years and years and years of productions about how Macbeth is and whether it's evil, whether the play is evil, whether he's evil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I find these plays thrilling. They are about human beings at their rawest. And at the same time, they speak, they express themselves with a richness that is absolutely winning to me, and obviously it's been winning other people over for quite a long time. It's a great question to hear every once in a while because you wonder, why am I so thrilled with this stuff? And it just gets under your skin, and I can't get rid of it.
So it's not necessarily the language and those things. It's more about just the great storytelling and the great character development.
It is all of a piece in a way, because although he wrote, to my eye, and I've heard many scholars say this as well, he didn't write for English literary classes. He wrote for an audience. He wrote for an audience that was paying him, that was keeping him and his company alive. So he had to create variety. He had to create comedy and tragedy right next to each other, which is the way life is. He had to reflect the world around him. And he reflected that in his writing and in the theater and in his entire existence back in this one brief period back in England, back in the 1600s. But the language at that particular time exploded, and language is the way we talk to each other. It's more than just fancy words. It's character. The sounds of the words themselves feed into how the ideas are coming across to you. The whole thing becomes very holistic, and it's incredibly exciting to be a part of as a performer. And, of course, it has to have the audience there. It's not complete.
Are there some famous quotes in Macbeth that people maybe maybe don't even know that
it's
a Shakespeare quote that they use all the time?
Fair is foul and foul is fair, certainly. Boil, boil, toil and trouble. Yeah, it's good.
Is that right?
Yeah, that one comes from that. Yes.
That comes from that.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. There's another famous one. Another one that was, they're slipping away, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the exciting things I find about, seeing Shakespeare, which is just this... You just realize how utterly and completely we are indoctrinated in Shakespeare without even knowing it.
He's part of our lives, And to come back to the source and to watch these original plays and to see them live and to see them fully realized in a full production is one of the most exciting things you can do.
All right. Well, it's Macbeth. Pay As You Can is tomorrow night?
You use a free preview tomorrow night.
Sorry,
yeah,
for
yeah.
preview tomorrow night.
And then opens on Friday night this week, and then we'll run until November 18th. And we're talking to the Arts Council up in Haines to tour it up in Haines on December 1st.
So. Hey, that's right, because you've done that now. You've toured down to Sitka
on a couple of occasions. We went to Petersburg,
right? Yeah.
We're sort of touring the region here, which is great. Wonderful.
Very cool stuff.
Fantastic to be able to get out there and see other places and have them see our work.
Yeah, Theater in the Rough, doing great work. Aaron Elmore, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks, Eddie.
Appreciate it.
Wall of Kintyre, oh, much have I seen? Dark, distant mountains with valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mull of Kintyre.
Paul McCartney talking about his own little corner of Scotland there. Macbeth, Scottish play, coming to Theatre in the Rough. The special free preview happening tomorrow night and starting this weekend, as Aaron said, just in time for Halloween, a spooky, creepy Shakespearean play, Macbeth, happening at McPheeters Hall starting this weekend. Erica Lee with Kid Times Academy. Thanks so much to Erica for coming in and letting us know about that camp. There's an informational meeting happening tomorrow, October 26th at 6 p.m. at Rockwell. That's upstairs, the old Elks Club. And you can find out more about that at that meeting. There's also a potluck happening tonight at Thunder Mountain High School for exchange students and their families and anyone who's interested in finding out more about that. Go check out that potluck. And Halloween at the Nugget Mall. Thanks to Karen Peterson for coming in and letting us know about that. That's a Juno afternoon for today. I'm Andy Klein. Been happy to bring it to you. Got partly cloudy skies in the forecast for the foreseeable future, with gusty winds up to 40 miles per hour for the next couple of days, and lows around 28 degrees and highs in the high 30s in the next couple of days. Get into headlines and all things considered coming up next right here on KTOO News. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators, the Valley and Auk Bay area. Tune in to K276 AF 103.1 in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872. And KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktoo.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear.